Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how do you relate to these wonderful animals on our planet that we live with and their spirits? And how are we honoring them? What's our future with them? Let's talk about that, because there's a wonderful book, new book, called White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. And there actually are white spirit animals among all the others that we're going to talk about and understand what they're telling us and why, what we need to know to make this a better world for us all. And to do that is the author of White Spirit Animals, J. Sohara Meyerhoff Hieronymus. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really don't know what to call you.
Zohara or Dr. Z. I'm called many things, but
okay.
Zoe is fine.
Okay, thank you. Let's stick with Zoe. So I really appreciate you being on the show, because this book is beautiful, it's powerful, and you're amazing. I don't want to stroke your ego too much, because I know that you honor yourself and your work, and it's amazing how rich and deep that your mind takes you, and where it takes you, and what comes to you. And the book starts off with an amazing opportunity that you had when a bonobo showed up in your bedroom. What happened there?
Well, firstly, I wanted to let you know we're having a little static on our end of the line, and hopefully it won't interfere with your hearing me.
We don't hear it at all.
Okay. Matata was a bonobo who I met through, actually, she showed up in front of me after I'd interviewed a scientist who had worked with her in a lab, and she just started talking to me. And this was in 2011 when I decided to do some telepathic work with animals in the wild. And she just started talking, and I learned as she started telling me world history, things about the Ice Age, how humans and bonobos worked together, that the bonobos saved the discarded humans, we're talking prehistory, during the Ice Age. All of the white spirit animals, as Matata even shared with me, because she's the one that said, oh yeah, the white lion and the white dragon used to live together, which sent me down a whole trail of inspection. But she showed me what's possible as a telepath. I mean, I've always worked with animals and for people with domestic animals, as well as some of the sort of local animals we're familiar with, our birds and our raccoons and our skunks, etc. But she really showed me that it doesn't matter where an animal is, in captivity, free, here, near me, 10,000 miles away. She showed me that the animals are looking for humans to communicate with. She led me then. In 2013, I had a waking day vision of all of these white spirit animals coming in front of me in my vision, and I asked them, I felt like I was before these revered teachers, I said, well, why have you come to me, and what can I do for you? And in unison, about 10 different white spirit animals, white shark, white whale, white buffalo, white wolf, white elephant, etc., said, we want you to tell our story. That began for me a four-year journey of trying to tell the story of the white spirit animals worldwide, who are all connected to prophecy wherever they reside. Their elders all speak to off-planet guidance, and that they are all remnants of the Ice Age. And to add to that, Whitley, that they would only show up again when the Earth was about to cleanse herself. And prophecy is unique, whether it's from the Zulus or the Cherokee or the Buddhist. Whomever has revered these white spirit animals as legions of prophecy understand that they're here to help us during earth changes. And their basic message, in case I don't get to it later, is save as many of us as you can.
And for good reason, because of the quality of life on this planet, how beautiful a planet it is, and how wonderful we can be if we evolve to become better humans, and the essence of their beingness has always been true, and we've just really slaughtered them and mistreated them, and it's terrible how we you talk about in the book, dissociate.
Dissociation is a mental aberration for the entire planetary human population, where we do things we know are wrong. We have this compartmentalization ability to dissociate our heart and feelings from the things we do. They can be as small as, you know, throwing litter out the window to dumping toxic chemicals into drinking water supplies, or in the case of the white spirit animals and their species, and they're white, unlike the rest of their species, is that they are all apex mammals. They are all guardians of enormous ecosystems. And the story that they share, beyond all the fascinating things they have to offer in terms of teaching us about smudge medicine or hibernation or long-term planning or maternal wisdom, is that these ecosystems will disassemble without them. And these very animals, the bear, the lion, the elephant, the wolf, and the buffalo, are the very animals humans like to kill the most. And they say, you know, sports hunters like to, because then there's bigger elk if you kill off the wolf. Well, if you kill off the wolf, you kill off all the other species, the ecosystem. Same with the elephant. 50% of the population has been decimated now. And without them, the entire savannas collapse. They bring out the fruit of the upper trees for the smaller animals. They open up the canopy for sunlight. They create the watering holes for other animals. So each of these mammals that humans have set about destroying so that they're all now facing extinction are the very animals whose ecosystems we should support and whose existence we should honor, revere, and do everything we can to put under protective law.
Right. And humans have really raped the planet in many ways, not just killing and abusing these wonderful animals. And when we say white spirit animals, what we're really saying is that there are species among the animals, there are white animals that actually exist in communities. For instance, the bear community up in British Columbia, right?
Right, and exactly. They preside over one of the largest rainforests left on Earth. And, you know, the rainforest represents 70 to 80% of our medicinal plants, and they take care of giving us the oxygen we need. And the good news, I have to say, there is good news in this story that's so mercenary in terms of humans exploiting the earth for its own profit in what I call a death economy. You know, if it were a life economy, we'd look to elevate everything in every decision we make versus exploiting and ruining for very short-term profit. That there are efforts in each of these animals' cases, like the Great Rain Bear Forest Preservation Act, of they're making efforts to preserve the rainforest as a result of the attention that people like Charlie Russell, who works with bears, brought to the white spirit bear.
Right, and so there are white animals in different locations on our planet that are in community that we need to protect, but they've also been revered forever. Their whiteness really evokes spirit. And
well,
so
that, and also all of the elder tribes that revere these animals and have always sort of shielded knowledge of where they were until very recently, because now is the time for them to speak, and now is the time for us to be aware. And anytime a human sees one of these white spirit animals, which are not albino, by the way, they have recessive genes, and they are unique to their particular species, and that's one of the reasons they're so treasured. But there are more of them now, and they are out in public view, and there's a big ecosystem sort of ecotourism business around preserving them rather than killing them. And while animal activists would say, well, that's still exploiting them, and, you know, we're still using them for our own gain, I say to them, well, I understand your feelings, but the truth is it's a lot better to look at an animal than to kill it. So we're making progress. And there are efforts, like, for instance, China says it will outlaw the importation of elephant ivory, and they're the largest importer of it in the world, and they're supposed to stop in 2017 or 2018. If they do, that bodes really well for the elephant population in Africa. In Asia, they're used for labor for the most part. And the issue of all of these things is our trying to appreciate what indigenous cultures have always understood, that animals aren't beneath us. They're not below us. They're not unintelligent. They're not unconscious. These are sentient creatures who have culture, family, history, memory, needs, play, fun, you know, and they have long-term memory of not only what humans do for them and to them, but they have long-term memory of their own species culture. And when you practice, like I did, dream telepathy, anybody can do this, you just have to practice, they will tell you what they think is important. Like Wolf, for instance, gave me a series of dreams. One of them was they showed me all these beautiful cages, filigree, golden, and you know, exquisite cages that humans have built over the centuries for their birds or for their rats or whatever. And they said all the doors were open. They said, look, a wolf would never imprison any animal. It's a cruel thing to do. We shouldn't be doing it, certainly not experiment on them. And then they went further and they said, look, in a series of dreams they show me, and I'll just unravel it really quickly, that what we need is CPR, conservation, preservation, and restoration. And those are examples of things I learned in my dreaming, which I detail in White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change, how the animals themselves have a very big awareness of where we are on planet Earth and why they are here to bring us into telepathic rapport. And that's their goal, is to get more of us to open our heart, to open our mind, and to understand that these, just like indigenous peoples have always said, are our brothers and sisters. And they have a great deal of wisdom to offer.
Well, I think it's a time where we're becoming more frantic because everything around us is imploding. There's a grave threat to our planet, to humanity. And we're waking up at the same time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's why we're doing this, having this conversation, because people are becoming so much more aware of the need to change and to do things differently. We're according to the Mayans, this decade we're entering an era of night, and the era of night means that we have to go within to find our truth and to stop playing these external, superficial games of that are run by men.
Primarily, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because patriarchy is part of the death economy, where it exploits everything but the male in charge, and even that's not true, because men kill each other by the millions worldwide, which is just a tragic waste of incarnation. But the animals, this was a surprising lesson I learned, which I did not anticipate at the beginning of this journey, and I dreamt with them for a year before I even studied them, so that my experience would be an authentic communion, is that they are all matriarchies. Every one of these cultures of the bear, the lion, the wolf, the elephant, you know, are matriarchies. And the entire culture is centered around the mother and the offspring. And the animals say to us, you know, this ethos of care is what human beings have lost, not only among themselves, but towards Mother Earth and Father Sky. And so they really urge us. It was one of the most beautiful things I learned from them in this journey was, matriarchy is not about women being in charge. It's about consensual self-governance, where each person reaches deep into their own interior wisdom self and knows how to become self-governed. And matriarchy,
allowing women to be wise, because men have demoted women and stripped them of all the opportunity to help lead. So now, I mean, for instance, the original native societies on this planet were matriarchal.
Yes, and still are. Many of them still are within their tradition. Culturally, it might look differently because of economic structures. But I think it's really important for all of us to appreciate that, you know, we're all male and female. Just a male is a few percents more than female. But women, according to Kabbalah, which I've been a lifetime student of, are born with extra bina, which means more understanding, more intuition. Women naturally have this ability, and almost every tradition of prophecy speaks to women and children being the channels for prophecy in this age. But the white spirit animals, what they're trying to tell us is that all of us have this inner maternal loving heart. And that's what the lion actually teaches us. You know, not only do they live 10 to 26 years, but they teach us the alchemy of the heart. They're like the emerald gem. And they're telling us, like them, they're guardians of the noble heart. and that means good leadership, localized right. leadership. You know, at one time, the lion was recognized worldwide as being the queen of heaven. And so we had an automatic understanding, not just of the king of the pride, though he has a role to play that's important. It's really the females in all of these traditions that teach all of the offspring how to survive, how to be a member of their community, what to do, how to treat the elderly, how to treat the newborn. And they used to teach us how to arrange our societies, which we don't pay attention to.
Right. And there's so much prophecy now about the return of the divine feminine. And there's even, you know, we can even come into more contact, for instance, with our own Statue of Liberty and what that represents in divine feminine,
yeah, and
really being the power.
And
I know.
I've written a book on that. Yeah.
Right, and I've interviewed them for my show.
right.
That's why I brought it up, because
I'm glad you did, because it shows that, you know, within our own culture of the United States of America symbols, is we were being told this story from the very beginning, that the women can yeah. enlighten the world, and in Kabbalah they call it the crown of the world, that we're moving into this period called Malchut, which is our feet symbolically in the Tree of Life. And what it means is we're coming down the elevator of life into our deepest darkness before we can reascend. So while the culture is coming down and we see the fabric of culture kind of disassembling politically and economically worldwide, there's already an arising of our higher consciousness, of the female intuition, and of our inclusiveness. That's the biggest difference. A matriarchy is very inclusive. A patriarchy is very exclusive. And when you look at what... Well, I was just going to say the elephant is the most beautiful teacher of all of our disposition, because they really are Buddhist. And it's interesting that Buddhism so reveres them, and Buddha himself was considered to have been an elephant prior to his incarnation as the Buddha. And in fact, they say that whenever he wanted to look at somebody, he'd turn all the way around the way elephants do, rather than turning his head or looking around his shoulder. But they live the same lifespan as we do, 80 years. And then they all stay with the mother. The males aren't weaned until 4 years. They don't even leave the herd until they're 9 to 12 years old. You know, there used to be 350 species of elephants. Now they're two.
But well, elephants are beautiful beings. And
oh, they're gorgeous.
It's amazing when we stop and really allow them to reveal themselves to us and understand how they've been so misunderstood, because they've been taken advantage of for so many reasons over
centuries
of years.
You know, the trade in ivory yeah. has been flourishing since before BC, and it's been around for thousands of years, but it has to stop, because each time we move an animal that is an apex guardian to extinction, the entire ecosystem will collapse, and that's even without these colossal earth changes and climate changes. So the real message of White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change, is the change is upon us. We're in the sixth extinction. We're losing 27,000 species a year. Within the time period of a single lifetime, the World Wildlife Fund wrote a report in 2014 that we've lost, from our vertebrate population of mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, and fish, 52% of them between just 1970 and 2010. So while we're in a sixth extinction, I say to people, you know, it's interesting. Nobody talks about this, but if we lost, Whitley, a football league 1 week and a soccer league the next week and baseball after that and soccer after that, the whole world would be in an uproar. But if you tell them we're losing 27,000 species a year against, it used to be a background rate of 1 to 10 a month, we're now losing like 17,000 or something, people should be alarmed, but it doesn't seem to make it into the media mill.
Well, that's all going to change in the future. We just don't know what it's going to take to get there. And certainly your book will help. People are awakening to a need for change, because it's all coming down around us all. And so these spirit animals actually represent strength that we can draw from within ourselves. And so not only are they telling us that, watch out, but they're also showing us through their own ability, their own awareness, their own skills, how we can become better.
Exactly. And the truth is, it's local. You know, local economies, local focus. Yes, we can all be global citizens. That's a given. We are anyway without the internet. You know, we're all connected telepathically through light. So we are all one, even though we experience our individuated self lives. The real important thing is that each of us work in our local communities, form local networks. You know, I have a great story after these horrible hurricanes. Those communities that already had co-ops, CSAs, that's community-supported agriculture, that had food markets, like in Texas, were able, after the hurricane, to get themselves in order as a community without the National Guard, without the federal government, without the state aid, and take care of each other. The point of all of this is to create resilience so that no matter what happens in our local communities, no matter how unexpected, no matter how unprepared, if we have already repaired a vibrant local economy and a local food supply and a local distribution of food, that's why having sustainable local agriculture is really the key, the linchpin to our future. That's what the animals are telling us. Focus on your local ecosystem, and the other local thing is within your own person. Anything you want to know about for your own life or your community, you can ask in your dreams. The more specific the question you ask before you go to sleep, the more specific the answer. So if, for instance, you want to come into rapport with the deer in your community, you say, "Deer, I would love to help you. What can I do?" You write down what you dream, and at first it might not make any sense, and it might take a couple weeks or months of practice. I've been doing this for decades, but I practiced it so coherently that it becomes a part of your life process. And this is what the shamans do, is they use dreaming to enrich their own inner awareness of what to do in the physical world in action. So it allows us to access the wisdom that unites the entire planetary reality through us, with the animals, with the trees, with the planets, waters, etc., with the air, so that we then become like a shaman. We can come into communion with any part of life that needs our assistance.
And so that's really important to talk about, is our own spiritual nature and how we can come in contact with that through dreaming, but also just understanding that we are dreamers, that we are working with a multiple consciousness, that our subconscious is very powerful, and if we can align with it and let it speak to us better, we can know more holistically in our universe.
Exactly. I think the key is to pay attention. You know, once you start using your dreams and sharpening your intuition, and a quick little game everybody can do to do this is have a friend or family member take three objects, put them each in different separate paper bags that you can't see through, and then close your eyes, come into rapport with one bag at a time, and just draw the shape of what you see. Don't try to name it. That's where we go off target when we try to bring in the left hemisphere to a right hemisphere practice. But these are things that strengthen. Or when you're out driving and you're on a country road, predict the color of the car coming around the corner. These are little things that strengthen that muscle of intuition. The biggest thing about intuition is don't judge yourself. Don't say, "Oh, I didn't get it." Just practice. It's a muscle like any other muscle in the body. And with dream telepathy, if you have a loved one who's passed on, look at a picture of them before you go to sleep. Say to them, "I love you. I miss you. I'd love to talk with you." I can promise you, you do that a few times over a period of time, and you will make contact with those you love, whether it's a tree or a mother or a deceased dog. And that's the beauty, Whitley, of who we are. We're multidimensional beings having multidimensional experiences simultaneously.
Right, exactly. And it's so great to talk with you, because you are not only do you manifest this in your own life, but you communicate it so well and are leading us all, you know, the planet, because I know you do a lot of radio shows.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I called you Whitley, and your name is Peter. I had a note in front of me that was the wrong person, and I apologize for that, Peter, because I, you know, I so respect every host, having done this now almost 30 years myself, and until you've done it, you people in the audience don't know how much preparation goes into hosting a show.
You said
it. So it's a pleasure for me to be a guest, and I really thank you for the opportunity, Peter, to have done this.
Well, yes, my heart is in it because your heart is in it, and I get that. And I'm very careful to only have the most amazing people on my show.
Yeah, it's clear you do.
Including your husband.
Well, thank you. No, I think that radio is, the reason I went into radio is that it has no gatekeepers. And it's, I've been in all the mediums, whether it was television and newsprint, and I find that in radio, there's not only a collective experience simultaneously, but that means that several thousand of us at once hearing the same thing can actually have an impact on the world. So if there's just a few things I'd like to leave with everybody, it's do everything you can to protect these apex guardian mammals, you know, support the organizations that preserve their lives, the bear, the lion, the elephant, the wolf, and the other thing
the
is
buffalo,
to practice
too.
Using your dreams. And the buffalo, my favorite. I always say buffalo rising is a great sign, and the Lakota buffalo woman and her return is prophesied for now, and it's very important. It's now our national mammal. Thank you, President Obama, for that. And they are just beautiful custodians of the soil and spirit.
Now, it's so nice to hear that. And we want to hear more about all the animals all the time because we want to associate with them and learn from them and help them. And so it's so great to talk with you. And the book is White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. What kind of contact information do you have for people?
Well, the best way to do is go to the website, www.whitespiritanimals.com. And there's contact information there of how to reach me or to submit things. I mean, I think the most important thing, truly, everybody listening, take care of your local environment, support the community that you live in, help the farmers in your area get rid of GMOs, make sure that we restore our soil, restore our heart, open our minds, and remember that animals are here to help us. And they will talk to you, and they will warn you of earth changes before they happen because they know these things before they manifest, and they will guide us. But the most important thing is to have loving regard for all of life, whether it's the little bug or the big, wonderful buffalo.
Thank you so much. Now, again, your name is Jay Zohara Meyerhoff Hieronymus, also known as Zoe. Really appreciate you being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you so much, Peter. I really appreciate being with you today.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.